Our theme for this year is a community for the world. It's an important aspect of the Christian life that we hope will help us all come to a deeper knowledge of and a personal relationship with God, and shape us into a community that reflects the love of God, and all the while teaching us to welcome others and to send our values out into the world. Now, some of the sermons will focus on who God is and how we are being invited to enter into a deeper daily life with God in our lives. Other sermons may have a greater emphasis on who we are as Christian community. Some sermons will focus on the call to engage the world with our values, and some, of course, may not be connected to our theme at all, because if you want to hear God laugh, just tell him about a plan like this. Well, today's focus in the year of a community for the world is on who is invited to join in and on the quality of the community that God wants us to create and live into. We live in a society, we live in a culture where it's pretty clear what gifts or characteristics are required for us to pursue a certain way of life or to belong to a certain group of people. And our abilities and our qualifications and often our age matter all the time. My limited window of opportunity to play professional football closed in 10th grade, for example. I stopped growing taller and realized I wasn't getting a lot faster, so I had to come up with another plan for my life, and here I am. Athletes who make it into the professional sphere have certain unusual abilities, and they have to work very hard and get some luck to make it, but only for a time, because the younger and swifter are right behind them and will catch them too. Business people have to have a way with vision, with people, with finances. Scientists have to have gifts for science and math and must love research. Musicians, hopefully, have an ear for music. And teachers, gifts for communication and a special dose of patience. And when you and I find our gifts and how they can best be used, then we're often invited to join in some way of life too. And Jesus has criteria for who he calls and who will answer his call as well. Only persons with a certain quality of the heart are able to join God's community. Oh, Jesus invites everyone. But everyone who actually followed Jesus in his earthly ministry, everyone who followed Jesus in the Gospels, and everyone who has followed Jesus through time, including some of us here this morning, have this one quality that made them and makes us prime prospects to hear his call and join in God's community. In fact, if you don't have this one quality, his call will fall on deaf ears. His invitation won't make any sense to you and to your life. And the one quality required for his call to have meaning, for us to join in God's community, is that we know we are sinners. Everyone Jesus calls, and everyone Jesus seeks to find, everyone who answers Jesus' call is not only a sinner, but someone who knows they are, which makes Jesus' invitation and his presence all the sweeter. Ah, there's that word, sin. Sinner, sinful. I probably lost some of you there. It's such a pesky word, sin. We don't use it much anymore, and almost never outside of church. Sin makes us think of judgment, of moral absolutes, of being accountable for our lives, of guilt, of facing some kind of punishment, or having to seek actual forgiveness. One dictionary gives these definitions for sin. Sin is a transgression or breaking of divine law. And sin is any act regarded as a willful or deliberate violation of some religious or moral principle. Sin means I did it on purpose. It was willful. Sin means I knew it was wrong when I did it, and I did it anyway. And because sin doesn't make me feel very good about myself, we don't like that word. We don't use that word. We like this word. I didn't sin. I just made a mistake. A mistake, according to this dictionary, is an error in action, calculation, or judgment caused by poor reasoning. Oh, I just wasn't thinking straight when I did that, or I didn't know any better. This is a much better word than sin, because when you catch me in a mistake, I can say, oh, my bad, I'm sorry, my mistake. And the assumption that since it's a mistake, you can't be all that mad at me for making it. I just didn't know any better, and now I know. There's a big difference between sin and mistake, isn't there? With a mistake, I don't have to ask you to forgive me. I can just say I'm sorry, shrug my shoulders, and hope that we can move along. But sin's an entirely different thing, and here's the twist. If everything we do wrong can be dumbed down to where it's just a mistake, that makes me a mistaker. It's not in the dictionary. Don't look it up on Google. Which means I don't sin, and if I don't sin, I'm not a sinner. If I'm not a sinner, then I have no need for a Savior or to be part of God's community. If you and I are mistakers, then all we have to do is to try and do better. Mistakers just have to break some nasty habit. Mistakers just have to be more consistent and try harder next time. But if I'm a sinner, that seems to be more fundamental to who I am, to what my character is. If I'm a sinner, then trying harder isn't going to get it done, because I probably owe something to somebody or someone. I probably have guilt. I probably deserve something I don't really want to know that much about, because if I'm a sinner, trying harder isn't going to help me. And if that isn't enough to kind of shake us in our boots, Jesus comes along and raises the issue to an even higher level. In his earthly ministry, Jesus taught these two opposing ideas all the time. First, he came along and made everyone feel even worse about themselves by raising the bar about sin. In Matthew's gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, which is his stump speech, he would say things like, "You've heard that it's a sin if you commit murder, but I tell you, if you're angry with your brother and sister, then you've committed sin. It tells you, we know that if you commit adultery with someone else, you committed a sin, but I tell you, if you even think about it, you've committed a sin." It's not just our actions that are sinful, it's our thoughts as well. And none of us have control over our thoughts. So nobody is righteous, nobody is without sin, nobody meets God's standards. And then Jesus is, at the same time, says, "Oh yeah, by the way, God loves you. God loves you. He loves you just the way you are." And the people had to be going, "Wait a minute, either I'm terrible or God loves me." And Jesus smiles and says, "It's both. You're terrible and God loves you. You're worse than you thought and God loves you more than you can imagine. He loves you so much that he sent me to find you and to bring you home." This was so strange to people, and especially strange and challenging to the mistakers in the crowd. Strange to the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders who questioned Jesus about welcoming sinners and eating with them in this morning's gospel. The mistakers didn't like Jesus because somehow he made them feel bad. They felt bad because they were trying as hard as they could to follow those 613 laws in the Bible. But Jesus had insisted that outside of perfect lawfulness, it wasn't good enough. And in fact, they were sinners after all, just like the people that they condemned. But the other people, the people who knew in their hearts that they were sinners, they loved Jesus. They flocked to Jesus. They couldn't get enough of Jesus, like the tax collectors and the sinners coming near in today's gospel. They were honest enough to look in the mirror or had heard enough from religious leaders to know that they were sinners. And they're able to say, "He's right. It's worse than even I thought. And if there's any hope for me, it's not because I'm going to do better or try harder. It's because I need a Savior, and God has sent Jesus to find me and to bring me home and to change me in my very core." You see, only sinners are candidates to hear Jesus' call and join in God's community. Only the lost are found by God. As long as you're a mistake, you're just going to try harder. You're going to try to figure it out on your own. You're going to do better next time. You're going to hope to convince God that your good outweighs your bad. Oops. Mistakers are all about trusting in themselves to get it right. Sinners realize, "I can't. I can't do better on my own. I need a Savior who loves me despite myself, who comes looking for me, and will send his Holy Spirit into my life to change me. I need God to change my heart, to change my life, so that I may know God's love for me. I need for God to change me to become more the person God created me to be, and to bring me into a community where I am welcomed just because I am." The quality of our hearts is more important than we can know in terms of our ability and willingness to follow Jesus and join in God's community. If we are mistakers, then Jesus is called to follow him into a community with God, into a community where sinners are forgiven and the loveless are loved. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. We're really fine, thank you very much, and we'll just keep trying. But if we're honest, if we're willing to really search our hearts and look at our lives, then we'll find that our actions and our thoughts are not always so good, and they may even be willful turning away from God. And when we reach that moment, when we see our sin, when we see ourselves as sinners, as persons in need of something or someone to save us from ourselves, then we'll come face to face with the one who has been searching for us all along, and who invites us into a new life, into a new community, and who invites us to call others into this community of grace and forgiveness. And our turning and their turning will bring joy in heaven and joy in our very lives. So let me invite you this morning to acknowledge the truth about your life and my life, to acknowledge the truth so that we may allow God to forgive us and to change us, and to help us build a community where all are welcomed, all are loved, all are valued, a community where sinners are particularly welcomed, and a community where all are changed by the sweet grace and mercy and love of the living God. Amen.